As always, on a Friday, we get the chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's Ben Fred Fridays, exclusively presented by Henderson Watercutty, full-service defense attorneys located in Clayton, licensed in Missouri and Illinois, and they can help with any offense, small or big. STLCriminalDefense.com. STLCriminalDefense.com is their website. Go to their website, walk through whatever you may be dealing with, and they have an answer for you on that site, and they're available 24/7. Ben Fredrickson, good Friday to you. How are you?
Doing well, man. Good to hear your voice, and welcome back from the All-Star game. I know that you get a little crazy when there's no baseball, so it's good to have it back in both of our lives.
Yeah, I get emotional watching the Midsummer Classic and the Home Run Derby, so it's good to get my emotions back in check. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, I got to say, the Home Run Derby was fun, more fun than I thought it was going to be, so I'll give them that. But it just, I don't know, I have a hard time getting too jacked up for the All-Star game. But it is, I think the one thing that makes me feel excited about it every year is seeing the players. You know, it really does matter to the players. These guys love it. They cherish it. They love competing against each other. And you can tell just by seeing their faces that they're thrilled to be there. So I think as long as it matters, truly matters to the players, then it will be important. But I do have a hard time getting too fired up about it. I can only read so many articles about the Home Run Derby before I'm worn out.
I understand. And now here we go, second half of the season, and the Cardinals will start play 44-44. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in town. The Central Division of the National League is the tightest in baseball. The Cubs with a half-game lead over Milwaukee. Cardinals are two back. Pittsburgh 2.5. Cincinnati 4.5. This could be a lot of fun here in the second half of the season.
Well, it will be in this division for somebody. And I think a few other teams are going to stand around and have to ask themselves why they didn't take a division that was wide open at the break. Look, if you would have told us the Cardinals were going to be 500 – headed into spring training, we would have thought there was no way they would be this close to the lead in the standings. We thought it was impossible. But there are a lot of teams in this division, aka everyone, that's feeling like it left something on the table, but that there's still plenty to play for. So every team should be making the kind of moves that could set it apart from this division. The Cardinals, more than any team, should. They came into this season with the stated goal of winning the division. And while they're frustrated to be 500, they've got to be pleased that they're still very much in this thing, and it's not exactly like the Cubs and the Brewers were killing it since June. The Cardinals have a better record than those two teams since then. So, look, we know the problems with the Cardinals. They're not easy fixes by any means, but when you are this close to the division lead and that this team was supposed to be the one that ended the postseason drought, then you have to make the kind of moves that give you a chance to win it.
What are those moves, though? I mean, you look at this team, and I could give you, and make a case for 10 different moves in different areas of the club. What do you think needs to happen?
But I think right away, I think it's add a starting pitcher who improves your rotation. The rotation has been better at times. They've got some guys locked in. Dakota Hudson's been great, excellent after a rocky start. And Adam Wainwright has been better than I think we thought he was going to be able to be. At least I did. I'll be honest about that. But, you know, you've had up and down performances from a guy like Miles Michaelis. You've had a disappointing start for disappointing first half of the season for Jack Flaherty. And also, I just don't know that you can trust to get much out of Michael Wacha in the second half. I know he's pitched better at times, but he's got five quality starts and the worst ERA as a starter. There are going to be starting pitchers available before the trade deadline that could improve the entire pitching staff of this team. You look at what's going to happen with the Mets potentially. You look at a guy like Trevor Bauer or even Madison Bumgarner, and I don't know that he's going to have what it takes in the tank to go more than, 130 innings. That's kind of been his limit for the past few years. But if he's healthy, then he could be a difference maker, and he would add some grit and gristle to a team that I think needs some in some way. The Cardinals need to have more of kind of an edge. I don't want to call them soft, but they have gotten, I think, somewhat passive in terms of their their goals and just what's acceptable to them. You're seeing Mike Schilt turn the heat up a little bit. I think that's great. You and I have both talked about how that needs to happen, but a player, the right kind of player, might add to that to some degree. The harder part for me is the offense, because I don't know what you're going to add that's going to potentially be better than what you should get, you know, from your entrenched players. I mean, if Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter stink again in the second half, the Cardinals aren't going to be very good, and they're not going to play in the postseason. And that's going to be the case whether they go out and add somebody or not. If you are going to look to add from the outside, I think it's probably in the outfield. You know, Harrison Bader, until he can hit a breaking ball, is going to be a liability at the plate. And when you have Dexter Fowler playing better than he did last season, but not, you know, being one of the best producing outfielders, then you have an ability to improve. Marcell Ozuna is going to be back. Hopefully his power returns. You don't know that it will with the hand injury. Usually we see guys take some time to heal power-wise when they come back from that kind of an injury. So I wonder if there's a move to be made to create more offense in the outfield, play Dexter Fowler in center field and look for something in the corner, or, you know, center field. I don't know what the answer is. It's not easy because you've got guys like Tyler O'Neill that the Cardinals would like to get more of a look at. You've got a guy like Randy Arozarena who's playing in center field and being, you know, praised by John Mozeliak as somebody they want to get a look at. But at some point, you have to get more production from your outfield if you're going to bank on Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter. Now, I don't know how long they can bank on Carpenter. I think they got to give him a shot here. They've given him the extension. It's not exactly the kind of roster that you can turn away from. The Cardinals made those decisions with Michaelis and Goldschmidt and Carpenter that they were committing to these guys beyond this season. So you got to give him a chance. But with a guy like Tommy Edman, who has been one of the best slugging rookies in guys who've had 50 plus at bats, then I don't think you want to put him on the bench. So, you know, Carpenter's leash is short here. I think he has to know that. And if he doesn't perform soon, then I think you maybe start playing Tommy Edman at third base and bringing Carpenter off the bench until he shows some signs of that swing getting right.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a 5-game hitting streak entering the second half. That's Tommy Edman. And so far in 7 games at Busch Stadium, triple home run, couple of RBIs, 7-for-13, and he sparked the offense on the road trip. I've said this a million times, and I'll stay to it as it's currently constructed, this roster. This team is going to go as far as Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter take him. In particular, Goldschmidt, 255 average, second worst among qualifying National League first basemen, the 770 OPS, third worst among qualifying National League first basemen. There's no other way around it. It was a bad first half. And if he doesn't turn it around, this team doesn't go anywhere. I think it's that simple. I mean, you can patchwork different things with this team. And as you mentioned, rightfully so, if the outfielders get hot, which there was a time, you may recall, that Martinez, Ozuna, and Fowler were hot. And for like a week to 10 days, you know, they carried the team, and it glossed over Goldschmidt not hitting. If Paul doesn't hit, this team's not going anywhere. It's pretty much that simple.
Well, you're absolutely right. And let's go back to before the season. When Paul Goldschmidt was added, we all agreed that he was added to be the kind of hitter that the Cardinals did not have in their system, did not have coming anytime soon, and the kind of hitter that some teams in the National League could not have, and the teams that were going after World Series did have. They had kind of that tentpole, you know, main feature in the lineup. And that guy, the guy who can't be replaced, is now hitting .254 and slugging .426, the lowest points of his entire career. So, yeah, just as he was supposed to be the guy who could not be replaced when he entered with high hopes, he's now the guy who can't be replaced by moves at the trade deadline. There's not really another Paul Goldschmidt-type move the Cardinals are going to make. Now, the question, I think, is waiting on Paul Goldschmidt a sound theory. Ideally, yeah, Paul Goldschmidt comes out in this series against his old team, the Diamondbacks, and he lights the world on fire, and he doesn't look back, and it feels like the Cardinals have taken a leg weight off, and now they're running ahead of the pack. That would be great. But can the Cardinals make that their plan? I don't know. I think they do need to. I think the easiest thing to add and the most available thing to add is going to be pitching. So improve that, and then maybe you improve that and hope the offense clicks, because you don't feel like you can make substantial moves to improve the offense other than hoping your entrenched hitters like Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter come around. But the Cardinals can't do nothing. You know, they've had these past few trade deadlines where we've left them not really knowing what their intent was. It was more roster maintenance than it was buying or selling. And I think this is a season where there should be no confusion about what the moves were. You know, they told the fans 2019 matters. They told them we're going to win the division because we can't hope for a wild card being available in this competitive division, and they're still right there. I mean, they are a 500 team, yes, but they're a 500 team that could be in first place in, you know, a few days. And that's something that you need to either try to jar the team awake. You need to try to reinforce it and tell them you believe in it. I don't care what way we want to spin it in terms of what an addition would mean. But clearly you've got a whole bunch of games right now that say that that mix isn't working. And, you know, make a move that can put it over the top if Paul Goldschmidt starts hitting like Paul Goldschmidt, and you hope he does.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is brought to you by Henderson Watercutty, and you can see their website, stlcriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com. You know, looking at what's left, 10 games left with the Cubs. 7 of those matchups are within the final 10 games of the season. Milwaukee, 9 games left, 6 of the 9 at Busch Stadium. Cincinnati, there's 12 games left. And there's 3 separate 4-game series, 2 of which, by the way, are at the Great American Ballpark. And there's 13 left, the most of any team in the Central, with Pittsburgh. And 3 of those series are within the next month. So you're going to have a pretty good shot to do the damage inside your own division, which is the way it should be. Adam Wainwright will go tonight. And I'll tell you what, if he gets any kind of run support, Adam Wainwright, his numbers look a lot better. He's under 500 record-wise, and, you know, fans can look at record-wise the way that they will. But the bottom line is he's given this team a chance to win many of the starts that he's been on the mound. So I give Wainwright a lot of credit. He's done a hell of a job coming back at age number 37 and giving this team a chance to win. And here you are, the first game out of the break, and the Cardinals go with Wainwright at home.
Yeah, and Wainwright's been especially good at home, and that's something that dates back years and years. He has been, it sounds crazy to say it this way, but I think it's the best way to put it. The fact that we're not, you know, we being the media and the fans and the folks who follow Cardinals baseball are not constantly talking about Adam Wainwright, I think has been a very good thing, just in terms of that shows you that he's been solid this year. And you got to remember, too, the contract that the guy's on. He's not being paid, you know, huge money. He's on a one-year deal that basically slotted him as either a starter or a reliever. He has not been this rotation's problem. In many ways, he's been one of the more consistent pieces in it. He's also should not be viewed as your top line starter, because that's not his role anymore. You know, the problems for the Cardinals rotation are the fact that Miles Michaelis doesn't look like the guy we saw last year. The fact that Jack Flaherty has been disappointing, Dan. I mean, he's had good starts. He's certainly shown promises of the flashes of the promise that we saw, but he has not been the guy the Cardinals hoped would take that baton and run with it. In fact, Dakota Hudson has been maybe more of that example after he got over kind of his early stumbles. And then Michael Wacha has been, you know, it's kind of the same story. But Adam Wainwright has not been the problem with this rotation at all. In fact, he's been one of the more consistent one of the more consistent guys in it.
When you look at what's happening with this team, it's kind of been an enigma in a lot of ways. You know, the road trip, winnable games, and they didn't do it. Sometimes you watch this team and you're like, well, that's it. I mean, this is what you get. This team has been hard for me to figure out outside of the fact that Goldschmidt and Carpenter haven't hit. If you were going to take the macro view of this team, what would you say to somebody that said to you, hey, tell me about the Cardinals? What would you say?
Yeah, I would just – they feel like a team that is almost like the guy at the poker table who just can't hit on anything. Like, he just can't get anything to go his way. And you see the moves and you understand them and they make sense in the moment, and then they just seem to fall apart. I mean, when Jose Martinez is hitting, the Cardinals make more time for him, and then his defense gives away. When Harrison Bader's defense is starting to be missed, they put him in and all of a sudden he can't hit a slider or a curveball. And you see these attempts being made, and then you even look at some of the trades that were made. And for the first time in a long time, the Cardinals have players they dealt away that are performing better than they ever did with the organization. Players that you go, man, it would be nice for the Cardinals to be able to tap into that resource. And that's un-Cardinals-like, Dan. And we're used to seeing guys who were traded away become nothing. It was almost like a death sentence when a guy got traded away, because if the Cardinals didn't see much in you, then you weren't going to have any success anywhere else. That's no longer the case, and that's changed. And it's kind of it feels like the payback for like the Cardinals devil magic that we used to talk about, where guys that were overlooked elsewhere came here and thrived, and guys that were let go from here didn't do much elsewhere. That's reversed, and you kind of see that in what's happening away from the Cardinals and other teams, and also with the Cardinals. It's, you know, these extensions, they looked okay in the moment, but they're not making much sense now. And one of the things is the Matt Carpenter extension. You know, I didn't understand it when it happened. The timing felt unnecessary, but you know, the Cardinals wanted Matt Carpenter to end his career in a Cardinals uniform. So they made another commitment to him. And now that looks like a contract that could cause some problems unless Carpenter shakes out of it. I was a fan of the Goldschmidt extension. But the fact that he's in his first year, one of the years you were hoping he'd be his most productive since he's a beyond 30 player, has been the worst season of his career, that's starting to create some bad feelings. And then a guy like Michaelis, who's regressed, you knew he was going to regress some, but he's regressed more than expected in the second year of an extension. That's it's tough. And the really confounding thing here is kind of the inability to shake out of it if it does continue in this way, because of those extensions have money on the books and they have guys committed. The roster wasn't a place where this could have been a win or bust season, and they could have processed a lot of players, brought new guys in, and really had a new look to their team in 2020. Well, now they don't have that option anymore because they've extended certain guys, the guys we mentioned. So it's, what are they going to do? They have almost kind of this misfit bunch. And there's one guy in the group that is hitting above his career average, and it's Marcell Ozuna, who's now hurt. So, you know, I can still see it where if they figure out some offense, if they figure out a way to kind of pepper the gumbo with an addition from the outside, and if they get just some better, in some ways it's better luck. I mean, these guys have to regress positively. You know, I wouldn't think they could all be as bad as they were in the first half at the plate, but that's not exactly a sound theory either, is hope. So confusing is a good word. Confounding, I think, is a good word. Frustrating, it all fits. And it's something that we've been saying about this team and its construction for not just this season, but this to me is a continuation of what we've seen the past three seasons.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. STLCriminalDefense.com. Check it out. That's STLCriminalDefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
You know, Goldschmidt, I don't know. I mean, some people might say you could see it coming. Others say it's the first year of a contract that pays him a lot of money. You always throw that out in professional sports and let a guy get settled and the pressure that's on him. Maybe this is, you know, just not the right fit. But in Arizona, he was an all-star the past six seasons and the only National League player to do that. In the past seven seasons, he averaged 149 games, so he was always on the field. A 299 average, 29 homers, 299 average, 91 walks. Now, he was only hitting 201 through the first 51 games last season, and maybe the Diamondbacks thought, well, this is a natural progression for a guy that's past 30 years of age, and they may have wanted to trade him and get those prospects instead of draft pick compensation if they lost him in free agency, and then he signs the five-year, $130 million extension with the Cardinals. It's been befuddling in many ways because Goldie plays every day. Great guy. I've gotten a chance to know him. A perfect fit for the Cardinals. We're just waiting for him to have that explosion. And if he does, watch out. And again, here we are again talking about this guy. And I'm not saying he has to be that player that he was in Arizona, but boy, he's got to be darn close in the second half if the Cardinals expect to win.
Well, especially with Ozuna as a question mark. I mean, we talk about this, guys. We did this with Paul DeJong last year. Remember when, well, Paul DeJong's going to be back, and, you know, his offense will just pick up again. Well, no, the guy had a broken hand, and it's really hard to hit for power. It's hard to hit, period, even after you're cleared. And I hear that from fans sometimes. They go, well, if he's healthy, then why isn't he performing? Why is he playing if he's not healthy? You can be healthy, cleared to play, and still not have that power at the plate if you're coming off a hand injury. So how well Marcell Ozuna hits with finger injuries, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a wait and see. So someone has to emerge offensively to do damage. And that's the word you're hearing Mike Shildt use again and again. Tommy Edman, I don't think, and it's not a knock on Tommy Edman, but I don't think he's going to be the reason the Cardinals do or don't win the division. I just think that's a lot to put on Tommy Edman. The reason the Cardinals do or don't is going to be the fact that some of their most entrenched hitters are you know, either shook off of the worst first halves of their career or they didn't. That's what this season boils down to. And I understand the desire to find other ways. And again, as I said, I don't think the Cardinals can just say that's what our hope is and we're going to let it ride. I mean, they should do things around this to try to improve their chances. But, you know, that really is cut and dry. If the Cardinals get terrible career-worst seasons from guys like Matt Carpenter and Paul Goldschmidt and no one else emerges, you know, after Marcell Ozuna is injured to help carry that load, then they're not going to go very far. You can see the pieces and how good this team could be if they were all firing on the right cylinders. But when you're talking about career-worst first halves from guys who are 30-plus, it's a scary conversation, especially when those guys are not in the final year of their contract. Baseball is continually telling us that the best players are the youngest players. I mean, you saw the ages of the guys at the All-Star games, 25, 26. Cardinals have made some heady bets on guys who are beyond 30, and we got half a season full of games that said that those were not exactly the best decisions. They've got a big, important second half for them to pay off, or else they're going to have to face some really hard questions about what to do with this roster moving forward.
Well, I look too at Mike Shildt. To me, Mike has done a great job. When you look at defense,
Right now, the Cardinals are fourth in baseball fielding percentage, 43 defensive runs saved, seventh. They're getting more ground balls, more double plays turned. They're first in 2019 in terms of the Cardinals pitchers in inducing those double plays with 95. Running the bases, extra bases taken, best in baseball, first to third, sixth in the game. Remember, they ran into a ton of outs last year, the seventh most.
Yes.
This year, the seventh fewest. So the things that he can control and also the running game against is the best. He's done what he can, and it comes down to having the players. But then with the players that you got, you can make a difference with them. And I think he's done that. So Mike did a really good job at the end of last year to make it interesting, and he's hanging around this year. We'll see how the club performs in the second half. Well, Ben, it should be interesting here tonight. Again, this is always brought to you by Henderson and Watercutty. We'll catch you up next Friday, and it should be a lot of fun. The Cardinals and the Diamondbacks getting it going tonight. This has been presented by Henderson Watercutty, Ben Fred Fridays, every Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com.